So last week we had our very first message on when, and we had our very first question that was submitted. And I want to start this message out today by talking a little bit about that. The question was, when the third temple is built, I believe animal sacrifices will begin again. How will this modern world react? Well, not to sidestep the question, but I will be talking about the third temple here in a few weeks. But I do want to say that, you know, there's a couple of different ways that I look at that. The modern world that we live in and how they're going to handle like animal sacrifices when the Jews begin to sacrifice animals again, as they did in the first temple, I think it could go a couple of different ways. Number one, I think that in this world today, we have people that would not be surprised that they start again. That they would not be surprised at all that these animal sacrifices have started again. And that they're really not going to care all that much. Then I look at the other side and I go, well, you look at people, you know, places like PETA and things like that. And I go, maybe they will throw an uprising. But the question, I guess, is, will the Jews really care what other people think? I don't think that they're going to be that concerned about what the rest of the world thinks of them starting up animal sacrifices again. But we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a few weeks. And I appreciate that question. And I hope that they keep coming, because the questions challenge me to go and look up and see what I believe and then present that to you. So keep those questions coming. Well, this morning we're going to continue with when. And last week we started looking at the signs of the end times through the Olivet Discourse. We discussed the warnings that Jesus gave us about not to be deceived, because many were going to come in His name with fine-sounding words and miraculous signs that they were going to perform. You know, and we've seen many of those throughout the years, just as He said that we would. Then Jesus told us that there would be signs on the earth that would be a precursor to His coming, that we would see wars and rumors of wars, that we would see earthquakes and famines in various places. All of these are the parts of the birth pains before that great and glorious day of His return. Now, we concluded last week by looking at Romans 8, 24 and 25. And one day, all these birth pains will be just like a mother giving birth to her child. It will one day come to completion. It'll come to an end. And that's exactly what's going to happen at Jesus' second coming. That's why our hope is found in Christ alone, and the Lord will never, ever fail us. Yet we have to be vigilant in our pursuit of the truth as we continue to look at Scripture, to dive into Scripture, to see what it has to say. That's something that we most definitely have to do. You know, I said last week that there were going to be several different views of the end times. And we have to be careful with the way that we look at them. We have to be careful the way we look at what people really believe about the end times. Because just being honest, we don't know for sure. The Scripture is not 100% clear. But that does not give us the out of not seeking out God's truth. We have to continue to look for the truth in Scripture. You know, because our faith is in Jesus Christ alone, not knowing all the particulars of the end times and His second coming is where it's at. We have the assurance that He will come just as He promised. So today we're going to continue. And we're going to be looking at Mark 13, verses 9 through 13 today. So we're going to be in those verses there as we get started. So let's go ahead and read the Scripture. You must be on guard. You will be handed over to local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand what you will say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so very much for your word. Lord, and sometimes when we read the scripture and we hear your words, they're not easy to accept. They're not easy to swallow as truth. But that does not make that any less true. It is the truth. Father, and I pray that as we dive into this scripture today, Father, that you will teach us, that you will guide us in your truth. Father, we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verse 9, Jesus makes it very clear. He makes it very clear that we are to be on guard. We are to be on guard. But I guess the question is, what are we to be on guard for? Right? And just like this picture, are we watching for the right cross that's coming or the uppercut that's coming in to take us out? We have to be on guard. But in our worldly nature, we're told to be on guard. When we're told to be on guard, that usually means that something bad is coming our way. Watch your back. Lock the doors. Watch the windows to make sure that they're locked. Secure the bank account. Because we know that something's coming, right? Jesus told us in the parables that if a rich man knew what time the thief was going to come, he would make preparations to stop him. But the thief is going to come in the middle of the night when no one's expecting. You know, Jesus is telling us that his teachings and his ways are completely and totally contradictory to the world. They're contradictory to the world. They're just the opposite. And he is our great example. He's our great example. When Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, when he was suffering like he did for the sins of the world, he did not speak out against them. He could have called down 10,000 angels to save him and take him off of that cross. But Jesus knew. He knew that that was the way it had to be. That suffering was the way it had to be to save the church. And he knew that the church was going to suffer to build God's kingdom. That's just the way it is. When we look at what Jesus says immediately after this warning about being on guard, he says, "You will be handed over to local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them." Jesus did not say that it might happen. It could possibly happen that you're going to be arrested on account of me. He says, when you are, we're going to suffer for Christ. Church, that's inevitable. And when Jesus says you must be on guard, I believe that he's telling us that we have got to be on guard against ourselves. We have got to watch our own hearts. Because it is really easy, trust me, it is really easy when suffering starts to fall back into the way that the world looks at things. It's really easy to say, you know what, I'm going to put them up, and by golly, I'm going to hit something and someone. But Jesus doesn't do that, does he? Jesus didn't do that at all. We have to be on guard and watch our reactions as the suffering happens. and we don't act like the rest of the world does when suffering starts. You know, we're not like the rest of the world. We are different if we are following after Christ's example. He loved his enemies, and so should we. And he loved his enemies by guarding his heart. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. You see, when suffering started and we suffer for Christ, we have an opportunity before us. It's an opportunity that no one else can have. We have an opportunity to make witness of the suffering we go through. It becomes a testimony to the world when we suffer for Christ in the right way. This witness is important. Jesus speaks about it in verse 10. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Many have suffered, are suffering, and will suffer for the gospel to be proclaimed throughout this world. And God uses the saints to accomplish this mission. And all who have made Jesus Lord are a part of that. Everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have a part to play in taking the gospel and proclaiming it to the nations. That was an interesting phrase, proclaiming it to the nations. How many of us have heard that the gospel's got to be preached to everyone on earth? Have you heard that? Jesus doesn't say that. He says it has to be proclaimed in all nations. The truth has to be proclaimed in all nations. And we have a part to play in that. I don't know how God does it, but he is able to speak to people who have never heard the gospel message. He can speak to their hearts in ways that we don't know anything about. But man, this church has played an awful big role in that over the years as we've helped the Gideons out. The Gideons were here just a few weeks ago. We took up over $500 to give to the Gideon speakers to take the Bible and to pass it out, not only here but around the world. And that's an important part that we play. Spreading the gospel, I wish that spreading the gospel was something that we've done for other nations. You've heard me say, our mission field is right across the street. Are we willing to go and talk to our families and friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, those kids at school? Are we willing to do that for the cause of Christ? I pray that we are. It's not always easy. It's hard. It is hard. Jesus tells the disciples, and he's telling us, that you're going to be arrested on account of me. But don't worry. I love what he says. Don't you worry about what to say in those times. How many of us believe that we have to understand and have the right words to say, the attitudes to have, in order to spread the gospel? Jesus said, when you are arrested, don't you worry about what you're going to say. It's not you that's going to be speaking. It's the Holy Spirit. And he is going to give you exactly what you need, when you need it, and how you need it. Man, I'm so thankful for that. I was watching a YouTube video this week, and I saw this testimony by a man, an actor by the name of John Voight. And he's played in a number of different series and on movies and things like that. And in this interview, the interviewer didn't know that this was the direction that it was going to go when he asked the question. But John basically started telling him that, you know, at a certain point in my life, when I was a young man, I was not a follower of Jesus Christ like I am today. He said, and I was at a very low point in my life. He said, you know, my career was going, it wasn't going right. It was going towards the toilet. He said, I was having family issues. I was estranged from my wife. There was all this stuff that was happening to me. He said, and I can remember sitting on the floor. I ended up on the floor asking this question. Why does it have to be so hard? Why does it have to be so hard? He says, and I wasn't a follower of Christ then. He said, and I don't know if it was an audible voice or what, but there was something in me that said, John, it is supposed to be hard. What wisdom is that? He said. It is supposed to be hard. It's not meant to be easy. This life is going to be difficult, but our God is in control of all of it, and He will use us however He wills to accomplish His purpose in our life. It is supposed to be hard, church. It's not supposed to be easy. And this is hard. It is hard. But that doesn't mean that we don't face it with assurance. We don't face it with assurance, knowing that Jesus is going to accomplish through us and through our suffering exactly what He wants. Man, isn't that amazing? Jesus also tells us in these verses that we are going to experience something in this end times that is going to be extremely difficult for us to handle. That we are going to experience hard relationship realities as the end days get closer. You know, we may not see this kind of activity that Jesus is talking about in our country today. But make no mistake about it. In other parts of the world, what Jesus is saying here, that brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. This is reality to other followers of Christ around the world today. This is the world they live in. And that following Jesus is hard and difficult, and it costs them something. You know, in the other Gospels, like in Mark 12, 49 through 53, Jesus says, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and that constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. The point that he is making here is this experience of division in our families, it is true all because of Christ, all because of Jesus. Something many of us have experienced. Some of you may have experienced this exact same thing in your own families, that you're divided because of Christ. He says it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But make sure that you are understanding something. The division that he is causing is truth. He's bringing division by bringing truth into the family. When we say that Jesus is the only way to heaven, Jesus is the I am the only way. I am the truth and I am the life. He means it. And we have to stand upon that truth regardless of the opposition that we face. And let me tell you, this can be extremely difficult. And it can break our hearts for sure. But we have to go deep enough with Jesus to continue to live for Him and speak truth to those that we love, even when they don't want to hear it, especially when they don't want to hear it. You know, but Jesus promises that one day, it'll all end. It'll all be over. When we go through suffering, how do we make it through the times of suffering? We know that it is going to end at some point. The joy is going to come in the morning. We just have to make it through the night. And as we make it through the night, we can have joy in doing so. One day that it's going to be over. Paul writes about this, and this is a man who knew something about suffering. Paul suffered for Jesus. And in Romans 8, verse 18, he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Man, I consider our present sufferings not worth comparing to the glory that is going to be revealed in us. How awesome is that? Then in verse 31 of chapter 8, he says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but give him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who is raised to life and is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither heights nor depths or anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is how we stand strong. That there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. And as we begin to wrap up this morning, we must remember the context in which Jesus is telling us these things. It is the end of the age. And in this final verse here today, Mark 13:13, Jesus says, everyone will hate you because of me. But the one who stands firm, the one who stands firm to the end, will be saved. And these are difficult words to hear, to accept, yet they're true. Jesus is not selling a faith that is easy. He's not selling faith at all, though sometimes I think that we try to do that. He lays it out for all those who put their faith in Him, that this is going to be a hard, lonely road. And unfortunately, there are not many that find it. They don't find that road that leads to everlasting life. But Jesus tells us plainly that we will experience hardship, that we're going to experience persecution. Heck, maybe we might even experience martyrdom for the cause of Christ. And here he tells us that this hatred that people are going to have of us is not because of us, it's because of him and who we stand by. He reassures us that if we stand firm to the end, we will see his face. That we'll see the face of Jesus one day. And like Paul said, everything that you have gone through will be a vapor in the past. And His glory will be before us. Can we stand upon that and say, you know what? It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. When my family hates me, am I going to stand with Jesus? I pray that we do. When the world hates me, am I going to stand with Jesus? I pray that we do. When my feet are put to the fire, am I going to stand with Jesus? And I pray that we do. Because there are many Christians out there today that say that they believe in Jesus. They believe in everlasting life, but they don't want to take into consideration that he says you're going to suffer for it. And they turn their backs when suffering comes pretty quick. I pray that we're not like that. I pray that we're not like that. I pray that we stand firm to the end, no matter what comes our way. Because when their feet are put to the fire, they fall away quickly. I pray that we stand for Jesus. Suffering for Jesus, it's not easy. But as Paul reminds us, it's worth it. We must be on guard, protecting our hearts, keeping it focused on Jesus and not what's going on in the world around us. It's worth the suffering because even though the world hates us, Paul reminds us that there is glory that is coming. And that glory is something that we will have forever. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the love that you have for all of those who have put their faith in Jesus. And I pray, Father, that we stand firm upon that truth until the very end. God, we do not know the hour or the day that it's going to happen, but we know that you are in charge. We know that you have the final say and that you have the victory that Jesus won on a cross of Calvary. Oh, Father, we give you thanks for that. I pray that this message will be sunk deep into our hearts and into our souls. And Father, I pray that if there are any questions that have come up today because of what was said, that people would write them down and that we would be able to answer them. Father, what a joy it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen.